Murray back to pass. Wide receiver screen to the left. Caught on the far side of the 45 at the 40. Loose is Brown at the 35 and out of bounds on the far side. They spot him out inside the 30 at the 27. That's a gain of 20. Marquise Brown, by far his best game.
I know what he's capable of. I know what he's going to do. Oh, he got 14 balls today. Good things happen when you get the ball to, you know, the guys that make plays. And, he made plays today.
That is Kyler on Hollywood Brown. Number one to number two. The 1-2 punch, Ron Wolfley. We still say at Calvisi Consulting we coined that, but we lost out to Cardinals Twitter. Okay. It's all right. You know, you can't win them all. Cardinals didn't win the Rams game. Okay. But if you saw Hollywood Brown mic'd up on azcardinals.com, you saw some of that video, you heard some of the audio. Anytime you can frustrate Jalen Ramsey, you know, that's a little win right there. A little bit. Is there a play, and we're going to talk with Hollywood Brown here on this very special edition of the Big Red Rage brought to you by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. And before yours truly and Ron Wolfley say hello, I'd just like to know right off the top, Marquise, is there a play where Jalen Ramsey does not talk? I mean, that guy just talks nonstop, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I know him personally, so.
Okay.
He wasn't talking like nothing crazy, but he's a competitor, so he used that as, you know, as a tactic for him, you know, to get in his opponent's head.
So, Marquise, like, I don't want to get too personal here, but I mean, like, you and Jalen, you guys have hung out?
Yeah, I mean, off season, you know, I go to his events, his charity events. You know, we was under the same, financial advisors, so, you know, we're pretty cool.
Does that ever work? I mean, cornerbacks just talking and trying to play the mental warfare. Does that ever work against a receiver?
I don't know. I'm not on that side of the ball to know. I mean, it never affected me, but, I mean, it works for him. You know, he has been having a pretty good career, so he's doing something right.
That's right.
How about you, though, Hollywood? Do you talk? Do you enjoy talking during a game? Do you like to yap it up with somebody?
Nah, I don't talk. I pretty much just, you know, I probably laugh, just kind of like, I got too much respect for the game to just go out there, you know, just trash talking. I just like to play.
Well, you heard Kyler, what he had to say about your game against the Rams, a career high, 14 catches on 17 targets, a buck 40 through the air, and you got a team best grade from Pro Football Focus for what it's worth, a 76.6. And you also played 79 out of the 83 offensive snaps. So it looks like you're pretty comfortable in this Cardinals offense right now. How does it feel?
I feel like, you know, like you said, those 79 snaps, I got to keep, you know, working my legs to get stronger, to, you know, be able to run fast all game. But I'm feeling like I'm getting acclimated week in and week out. I just want to, you know, turn it into some wins. I mean, whatever they ask me to do, I'm ready to do it. So we just trying to get in that win column.
Do you feel like the chemistry is getting better with you and Kyler right now?
Definitely. Like some of the stuff, you know, we dialed in on. It just reminds me back of our days at OU. It's kind of like, all right, I know what's going on here. We looking at the same stuff, and that's good to have, you know, early in the season, you know, going forward for us.
Marquise, is there a play, an example this year where you and Kyler worked that chemistry in a game? Is there one you could just point out that you guys were on the same page and it actually worked in one of these first three games?
I mean, there's plenty of them. I mean, the touchdown play from Kansas City, we saw zero. He kind of looked at me. And, you know, I had, like, a corner route, but I didn't run it like a traditional corner route because we knew he had zero. I knew he had a man free on him for a blitz. So I knew he was going to put it up fast. And so I just kind of ran to the pile line. Or, like, this last game, I think I was in, like, a tight split. Cornerback, like, 12 yards off. I suppose I had to go. I kind of, like, willed it, looked back at him. He right on time, back shoulder, like, that was the play. So it's just stuff like that is just, like, you can't
Whoa.
Teach it.
That's impressive. Marquise that Hollywood is. Brown, our guest. I mean, that you've achieved that through three games so far. It's interesting because there was a route chart that was put online where most of your routes were to the left side. Mm-hmm. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked about that and said, yeah, it's a process that he envisions maximizing how he's going to use you in different ways as the season evolves. I mean, how much more do you expect your role or your responsibilities to grow, you think?
I mean, I trust Cliff, and you know, I know he's going to put me in the best position to succeed. So, you know, for me, this is my first time playing on the left. So just to go out there and, you know, get comfortable on that side when he does move me, you know, around. And when I'm on the right side, you know, I feel as comfortable because that's where I've been playing at. So I feel like, you know, he has a plan together. And when we get our guys back, you know, I trust that he's going to do the right thing.
And, Wolf, remember what Hollywood told us after the game? Didn't Kyler check in to the deep shot?
Yeah, he's checked into that, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's, yeah, Paulie, it's very, very cool. But so I just want to be clear on this. Would you like to be moved around more, or do you prefer to be lined up to the left of Kyler?
Yeah, I feel like I could play left, right, slot. You know, I come out of the backfield. Whatever needed to be done to get that dub, I'm willing to do it. So I'm pretty sure he's going to get creative and, you know, get us going.
And with the injuries, you probably are going to be used.
Yeah.
Almost the entirety of this game, right? So how do you guys, speaking of maximizing, how do you guys maximize this passing attack and get more of a downfield passing attack? Because you know the stats, mm-hmm. and the yards per pass completion aren't exactly where the Cardinals want it right now.
I think it's about execution. I mean, if you look at the games, you know, the stats don't really tell the full story. We've been down. So when you're down and playing from behind, the defense kind of dictates what you got to do. I mean, they know we're passing the ball. So it's like, if I'm a defense, I'm up, I'm not going to let them throw it deep and get back in the game. So that's kind of been why we've been just taking what they give us and not listening to the outside noises about deep shots and all that. And this, we like, let the game come to us. It's like, you know, in basketball, take those tools.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. then the three will come.
How is this offense developing right now? And how much more do you see it improving as the season goes along?
I feel like I can envision improving a lot. I mean, for me, you know, with all these injuries, for me to go out there and, you know, kind of show my skill set. And, you know, when guys start to come back, you know, these guys been here. They comfortable in the offense already. So I feel like we'll all be able to complement each other once everybody's fully back healthy.
You know, you sound like basically everyone in the locker room. There might be some noise out there, right? And maybe even some panic, dare I say panic, from Cardinals fans. But not in the locker room. You guys, I mean, I think, I don't know, talking to guys, they immediately cite how what? There's a couple of undefeated teams, there's a couple of winless teams, and then everyone else is bunched at one or two wins. And there's still 14 games to play.
Yeah.
There just seems to be that calm in that locker room. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, we got guys that's done been through things. I mean, I wasn't here last year, but they were saying, like, you know, they started off hot and, you know, end up, you know, going on a losing streak. I done been on teams where we started off losing when I was with the Ravens, and I think we went on like 12 straight. So it's like I just been telling the guys, like, it really don't matter. I mean, you go 1 week at a time. At the end of the day, you don't look up until it's at the end.
Hollywood, do you see your role changing at all when D-Hop gets back?
No, I mean, I done practiced with him when he was here. I feel like it'll help everybody. I mean, with a name like D-Hop out there, defense got to respect it. So wherever we moved around that, I feel like I'm able to complement his game. He able to come with mine, Rondale Moore, you know, Dortch coming alive, and we got Ertz. So I'm really excited for when those guys come back.
You had a Pro Bowler in Mark Andrews, but that's a tight end. I mean, to have an all-pro receiver actually break the huddle with you, that's got to trickle down in terms of what opportunities you might get.
Definitely. I'm excited. I mean, you know, he's on us about, you know, making plays, you know, even when he's not here. So just to know he's going to be out there giving it all. You know, we're competitive, so we're going to go out there and, you know, we're trying to make our plays. And I feel like we'll all just gel nicely.
You know, Hollywood, I love watching you play. I think you go about your business in the right way here. But is there an area of your game you need to improve? You think you need to improve, and if so, what would that be?
I think I want to continue to improve on everything, but I definitely want, you know, big plays. You know, if the deep shot's not there, I want to be able to take a screen 50 yards. I want to be able to take a slant to the house. And, you know, I've been close. But, you know, I want to actually finish it and, you know, get in the end zone on some long runs.
So far this season, the 1-2 punch in terms of receivers has been Hollywood Brown and Greg Dortch. And we were talking to Greg Dortch earlier this season, in fact, at his locker, and he revealed a little factoid from early in your guys' careers, coming out of college, going into the NFL, the draft process, the combine, and here's Greg Dortch.
I ain't going to lie, I was kind of like hype, but I was like, dang, they paired me with Marquise Brown because I didn't know him at the time. You just hear about him on the TV. You see him on the TV, him and K-1.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, Hollywood Brown, like, we're coming out together. Like, this is basically my competition, but now we're roommates. So, like, let me get to know this guy. And he was cool, man. It was really cool. We had a lot of things in common. He's not a big guy either.
Nope.
But
no.
He just plays with that swag, man. He's from Florida. He's very confident in himself. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I play the same way, too. So we kind of could relate to that.
So that was from the Big Red Rage, and that was on having you as a roommate at the Combine.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, and you could tell his respect for your game, because there he was coming from, what, Wake Forest?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, and you're on TV and in Rose Bowls and so forth, so he was a little intimidated to start.
And it's crazy, because I knew of him. You know, I'm a student of the game, so I study all the receivers. I knew about him coming out, you know, coming out of Wake Forest. And I knew he was a ball player, so when I got here and he was here, I'm like, okay, yeah, I know what I got in Greg Dortch, you know. I know what I got in
Did you play video games at all? Did you have the opportunity?
You know,
to do
that? At the combine, nah, but neither one of us participated. I mean, I had a list, Frank, and he had like a wrist injury, and he was just talking about his wrist injury and how he not able to, you know, showcase what he can do. And I was just telling me, like, don't stress it, man. Like, you put it on tape. You know, I watched the tape. And you to me, you one of the top receivers in this class, and that's what I was telling him. So
seriously? You had watched his tape?
Yeah, I watched his tape, yeah. I watched everybody's tape.
All right, so Hollywood Brown is our guest. Speaking of other receivers and injuries, Rondale Moore proclaimed himself today to be ready to go. In fact, he had a pretty short and intense media session. Let me tell you, if everyone's as intense as Rondale Moore on game day, this team's going to be good to go. Because he wasn't really all that interested in engaging the media in in-depth answers, put it that way. What have you seen out of Rondale this week?
He's ready to go.
That's good.
He's ready to go. I'm excited for him. You know, he gets a you know, bigger role than what he had last year, and he's ready to showcase what he can do, and we're excited, you know, to see him play.
You know, I know that you're ready to showcase your video game skills whenever anybody will watch.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I was asking you before we actually went on air here, what is the best video game out there right now? What do you think is the best video game out there?
See, I'm a gamer, so I can't really say a best game because it's so many avenues of games. I mean, you got shooting games, sports games, you know, RPGs. You got all type of games, so it's really your preference.
All right, what's in your wheelhouse? What's your go-to? If someone's going to challenge
my
you.
My lineup now is Madden, 2K, Call of Duty, Rainbow, and FIFA. My five games right now.
Okay.
Whoa. Yeah. The Call of Duty. Yeah. Why do you love the Call of Duty, man?
Man, it's nothing like it. I mean, you know, you get the guys together and you hop in that Warzone lobby and, you know, especially being an athlete. And, you know, these guys, they got hours playing the game. You know, me and K-1 and guys, we don't play for that long. So when we get on there and really win and dominate, it's like, satisfying to know, like, you know, we just that good.
Hey, K-1 has his FaZe Clan connection, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, do you ever get any tips from those guys? How does that work? That whole, I mean, his association with FaZe Clan.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing with K-1 before the FaZe. I'm better than K-1 in video games. No doubt.
So
it's nothing he really can teach me.
Okay.
But, you know, we go at it.
Speaking of Call of Duty, shots fired right there on that one. Okay.
Indeed,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who talks the most trash in the locker room, though, about their video game playing ability? Who's the biggest talker when it comes to video games?
It's between K-1, Tweezy, and me.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's good.
So you don't talk. Wait a minute. You don't talk on the field, but you
talk.
Oh, yeah,
video games,
we're
talking. Yeah, yeah. And you know what's crazy? Yeah. We're all good in video games.
Yeah.
And like, we always on the same team, but we always talking trash to each other. It's funny.
Yeah. All right, more with Marquise Hollywood Brown as we continue the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Mayfield to throw it. Pump fake. Guns it over the middle and caught by Hollywood Brown. Still running.
Hollywood Brown.
Once he turns on the Jets, it was over. That dude can fly.
Play fake. Far side. Caught. Brown. Running. Hollywood Brown. Knocked out of play. Mayfield.
winds up down the field. Hollywood! Touchdown! Sooners! 77 yards! Who is this kid? Where'd he come from?
He was a junior college transfer from the College of the Canyons. That's where he came from. But he originated out of Hollywood, Florida.
And hence the nickname. Joel Klatt with a great Gus Johnson on the call. True or false, Gus Johnson is responsible for your nickname?
True, true.
And was it just organic during that game? Was that the Oklahoma State game?
Yeah, I mean, he first called me, they called it the Kansas State game. I kind of didn't play first half, got in halftime. I was going off, and he was like, Hollywood Brown. And he was calling me that. And, you know, guys started calling me out around the locker room. Then that Oklahoma State game was, you know, national televised game. And, you know, I broke the school record. He was calling me that. And then it just kind of everybody called me that from there on.
Marquise, when did you know you were faster than everybody else around you? When did you know this?
I kind of knew early. I mean, I started playing football when I was six, and that was my bread and butter, fast. And, you know, I got the nickname Jet from my little league coaches, and that's been, like, my name all the way up until people start calling me Hollywood. And, you know, all my friends back at home still call me Jet, but from a youngin', I knew, you know, I was pretty fast.
Well, that game, you had 9 grabs, 265 yards receiving,
yeah. And
a touchdown. 2 touchdowns, actually, in that one. Then, so, yeah, some school record numbers and worthy of another nickname. Do you ever long for the days where your speed takes someone by surprise? With all the scouting in the film, I mean, yeah. That must have been such a gratifying feeling back when you would take someone by surprise with the speed, and I'm guessing that doesn't happen a whole bunch anymore.
No, that's when you know... Credit to Coach Riley and my receiver coach. They really honed in and told me, you know, your speed is good, but you got to become a complete receiver if you want to, you know, sustain and play this game for a long time. And so, like, going into my last year at OU, that's when I really started studying the wide receiver position to make sure, you know, I can't just be a speed guy. You know, guys can sit back and just play deep. So you got to be able to take a slant to the crib. You got to be able to run in the middle, digs, curls, and that's kind of been, like, you know, That's been my thing for a few years now.
What are your thoughts, Marquise, in regard to playing in Charlotte, of course, after Hurricane Ian and all the devastation?
All prayers out to, you know, the families affected. I mean, you know, I got family in Florida. You know, they've been preparing for the hurricane, and, you know, it's been rough in some places. So just to go out there in Charlotte and just be some entertainers and, you know, get them away from what they're really going through and try to, you know, put on a show for them.
It's true. Sports at its best. Entertainment is an escape for a lot of people, right? Yeah, you give them 3 hours of entertainment, get their minds off reality. And then there's reality. You're going against Baker Mayfield, who you know really well.
Yes, sir.
And we'll get into that a little bit. So you give us, I mean, I can walk around and ask defenders about Baker Mayfield, and this team played him last year in Cleveland, but what do you know about Bake?
I know Bake is a competitor. I love Bake, man. Like, he's a great friend. He's a great person. And, you know, I'm excited for him with this new opportunity. You know what I mean? I hope we you know, sack him, catch some interceptions. But I hope he has a great year. I mean, I'm proud of Bake. You know, just the person he's come, what he had to persevere. But he's a competitor. I know we're going to get his all. You know, he going to want to beat K-1. So, I know he's going to come out ready to play.
I was just going to say that right there, too, because you're all friends. You're all buds, man. I mean, does that ever get difficult at all? You know, you, Baker, and Kyler. And can you compare and contrast Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield?
If you did one of those diagrams with the two circles, they're both on the outside, like they on their own two things. I think the only thing they got the same is, you know, how bad they want to win.
You know what? It's funny you say that because I just found this quote. This was Baker last year going into the Cleveland game, Cardinals and Browns, right? And he was asked about Kyler, and Baker said, and I quote, "You know what? He might show it differently, but behind closed doors, Kyler is quite the trash talker. Don't let him fool you."
Yeah.
So, definitely. And those two, especially like when you and Kyler are on the scout team,
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it got really competitive in Oklahoma practice, didn't it?
Yeah, we used to kill them. We like, this should be our team right now. We should be out there.
And Baker must have, I mean, seriously, he must have looked over his shoulder a little bit when you guys were tearing up on scout team, and I'm guessing that fueled him a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he wanted to leave no doubt. You know, that was his team, and it was. It was his team. He led us, and he won the Heisman. And, you know, Kyler came back, and he won the Heisman. So they were very competitive.
Is there one thing, Marquise, that people need to know about Baker Mayfield? One thing that they might not know right now?
I think they need to know, like, he's a team player. Like, it's a narrative out there about him. Like, he's selfish, or he's, you know, I feel like Baker's one of the greatest players I ever played with, as far as, you know, he helped me become, you know, he brought something out of me that I didn't know I had in me, you know, when I was at Oklahoma. You know, I was down, I wasn't playing, and he was one of the players that, you know, brought it out of me. So, you know, to this day, you know, I thank Baker. I love Baker.
And there, Baker Mayfield's last year, he was throwing you a touchdown in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And when you went to Pasadena, a lot of stories were done about how you went the junior college route from Florida to Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were at junior college, because there's no scholarships in California for JUCO, you had to work your way through school. And where? Where did you work? Tell everyone.
Worked at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
The amusement park.
Yes. First job right there.
Okay. And then you sort of worked your way up. If I saw the quotes in the story, where did you start and then where did you end up? What was your job in particular?
I started off as on the kids, like operator. I was a ride operator.
Kids ride? Okay.
Yeah, so I started off in a merry-go-round, all that. Till I got, you know, pulled up to the full throttle, you know, the big ride, one of the largest, you know, hoops in the world, fastest hoop or whatever. So I got upgraded to that.
So are you talking about like a roller coaster?
Yeah.
And what was your little ploy? What did you do to people? You had a little countdown. How did that work?
Yeah. I used to mess with people, like count them down. 3, 2, 1. Oh, wait. I think something unbuckled or something. And they'll look and I'll press the button. And they're gone. Yeah.
Well, that's
great.
That's funny because, Wolf, you might remember, it was a couple years ago, we had Cliff Kingsbury on the podcast. And Marquise, you have something in common with your head coach, right? Okay. Working at theme parks.
Yeah, really.
As a young man, as we flash back to 2019, yours truly, Lisa Matthews, with Cliff Kingsbury, talking about what he did one summer for a job.
My first job, I worked at this water park called Schlitterbahn. It's the biggest water park in the country in my hometown, and it was trash pickup. I had my choice between being a lifeguard or trash pickup.
Right.
Trash pickup, you could be mobile and walk around and meet girls, and as a lifeguard, they just floated by you. So
how old were you?
I was 15.
Okay, yeah, job, meet girls.
So wait a minute, isn't it easier though the job description of a lifeguard and maybe
pickup you could kind of duck out. You were on your own pretty much most of the day, so it was
that's
the way to go.
Great.
Coach Cliff always has a game plan.
He had
a game plan.
Yeah.
That's interesting there. I mean, how often do you think back of your humble beginnings and how what you've made out of yourself and just sort of maybe look around and go, wow, it's been quite a journey. And I know you have a long way to go. You're still really young in your NFL career, but I mean, to go from A to B to where you are now, it's taken a lot of hard work, hasn't it?
Yes, I just thank God every day. I mean, I walk around, try to keep a smile on my face, keep everybody positive because, you know, I look around when I see a guy like Greg Dortch, you know, and I see the position I am, when we came in the combine, I'm like, that could have been me. Or any situation could have been me. You know, I couldn't have been in this spot right now, even with the talent that I have. I know plenty of guys with the talent. It's just some stuff, you know, God has a plan for it. So I just come out and I'm thankful. And I just try to bring that light and positive to, you know, to the team.
Yeah, and you do that, man. You really do, Marquise. It's one of the things I love about you the most. How might the weather change this offense going forward? How might the weather impact how you guys play on Sunday?
I don't think the weather is going to impact. I mean, we want to be a Super Bowl team. We don't care what we play in, to be honest. Cold, heat, sleet, whatever we got to do, we got to win.
What are you going to see in Carolina's secondary? You got what, Dante Jackson, C.J. Henderson?
Horn, J.C. Horn.
And J.C. Horn. That's a pretty good group of corners.
Yeah, I think personally this is going to be the best group secondary that we're going to face. So we, you know, we got a task in front of us.
Yeah, how do they look on tape? Because I agree with you. I think the strength of their team might actually be their secondary and their pass defense.
They look good. The whole defense, you know, they swarm around to the ball. They play hard. They play together. And, you know, they're sound. So, for us, it's going to come down to execution. Got to execute what our job is, and, you know.
I asked James Conner earlier today, Kyler said after the game, about that first quarter, and the Cardinals have yet to score a point in the first quarter in three games. He called it, quote, bad ball.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How do you define that? What can't you guys let happen again?
You can't just miss a block. You can't miss a read. Can't miss a catch. You got to be one team, you know, all 11, play for each other, block your man. If one person out of each 11 do their job, that's called execution. And if we execute, that's how points get on the board.
So, Marquise, when conditions are wet and it looks like, man, it's supposed to rain 100% all day Friday, and then I think 90% chance of rain on Saturday. It's going to taper off a little bit more by Sunday, but the conditions, it's just going to be super, super wet, and especially if it rains during the game. Who has the advantage in that situation, you or the defender?
I feel like we both at it. I mean, probably for the defender because they're not trying to catch the ball anyway. But I feel like both teams have to deal with it. You know, I it's an offensive game. So I look at the other offense. All right, their receivers got to deal with it. Their offense got to deal with it. So we got to deal with it. They got to throw the ball. We have to throw the ball. If they're we got to run the ball, they have to run the ball. So it's kind of – that's how I look at it. I never really look at, you know, what the defense got to do. I look at the opposing offense.
Hey, they did put in field turf. So maybe, just maybe, you know, the field might have more traction than you think.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. You know, maybe you get a jet sweep here or something like that here and there. Here's a question for you. If you want to know about a corner, ask a receiver. We're expecting to see Trayvon Mullen play in the secondary. What have you seen out of the Cardinals' newest corner when you've been out on the field?
He has the knowledge for sure, and he's long. He got great hips, and I played against him last year when he was at the Raiders, and he's pretty good.
I mean, a 6'2 corner.
Yeah.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't see that too often when a guy comes up on you like that.
Yeah, just his presence alone. As a quarterback, you look out there and you see a 6'2 guy, you know, that kind of throw your timing off because you want to make sure, you know, he's not in that spot where you think he's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marquise, look at October looms, man. Do you get into Halloween at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
how so?
I'm into dressing up, taking the kids trick-or-treating, so.
Nice. Well,
what are you going to dress up as? What are you going to be this year? You
know? Not sure. Waiting to, you know, I let my girl figure all that out.
You could do the whole Great Gatsby thing again. You know, I know you did that recently at the birthday party. But,
yeah. That was nice. That was nice.
That was pretty good. All right. You have any other videos coming out from your production company?
We actually are going to drop Going Hollywood episode soon. I think probably next week. So
yeah. Nice. Okay. All right, well, we'll be sure to tell Kyler and Tweezy that you know, you're number one in the power poll of video gamers, okay?
Yeah.
We'll be able to
make sure. Look, this is what they're going to say. Tweezy, he's only going to say he's good in one game. You know, he only plays one game. Me and Kyler play all the games, and he gonna say he's better than me, but we all know it's just because he's a quarterback that they're going to give him, you know, the ups.
Part of the quarterback.
Yeah, it's a quarterback quote. Yeah.
It's graded on a different scale.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, we get it.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.